Interlude. Matman. "This is the pitch," I said. "You ready?" Adam said, "Sure, lay it on me." I took a long drag of my Marlboro, pushed the phone closer to my cheek, gave a long exhale of tar and nicotine and pain, and began selling. "Okay," I said. "It's about this guy. You'd recognize him. His name is Matt, and he's about 50 years old. And he's very, very famous from doing a super beloved TV show years ago. But now, when the movie starts, we meet him, and he's got a pot belly. There are piles of empty pizza boxes in his apartment, all piled up like a totem in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You know, the one they made of mashed potatoes. Anyway, his life is a little bit of a mess. He's lost. Then, out of the blue, a distant relative of his dies and leaves him $2 billion, and he uses the money to become a superhero." "I love it," says Adam. Then he said, "Did you really inherit $2 billion? Adam's a funny guy. "No, no," I said, "it's just the character who inherits the money." "Does any of that spark anything with you? Because if it does, what's our next move? You're the big shoulders." "I'm not really the big shoulders," Adam said, "though we both knew he is. I appreciated his modesty, but modesty won't get you even a fuck you in Hollywood." "What do you mean?" I said. "Of course you're the big shoulders. This was, after all, Adam McKay, the guy who directed Anchorman and Step Brothers and a bunch of other big stuff." At the time we were chatting, he was making Don't Look Up, the movie about a giant asteroid heading towards Earth. You know, the one that stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Mark Rylance, Kate Blanchett, Tyler Perry, Jonah Hill, Ariana Grande, and Meryl Streep. Amazing cast. I was in Don't Look Up at one point, too. And even though I was also heading to rehab in Switzerland, I nevertheless went to Boston to shoot my bit. While there, I pitched a line to Adam that he loved and which became the blow to the scene, which is what you're always hoping for. He ended up not using the scene. Shit happens, no bigs. The point being, Adam McKay and I got along really well, and here he was, loving my pitch. At the time, I was in pain from the scar tissue from the surgeries, so I needed pain meds. But I'd get addicted to them, of course, which only caused more damage to my insides. But feeling a bit better, I was happy recently when I got a call from Adam. We were just chatting, but in Hollywood there's no such thing as just chatting. So I figured, what the hell? Why is he calling me? And when he never seemed to get to his point, I seized the moment and pitched him my idea. "Anyway, Mr. Big Shoulders," I said, ignoring his false modesty, "what do you think?" You know when there's a pause in a conversation that in hindsight you wish could have lasted forever so you don't have to hear the rest of it? "I don't think you're talking to the person you think you're talking to," Adam said. "What? Well, who is this?" I said. "It's Adam McLean. We met 6 years ago. I'm a computer salesman." If you've seen Don't Look Up, you'll know that at the end, well, let's just say that when I realized it was Adam McLean, not Adam McKay, a huge fucking asteroid smacked into my brain. I have a history in this kind of shit, too. Years earlier, Bruce Willis won the People's Choice Award for Best Actor for The Sixth Sense and asked me to present it to him. That night, backstage, I met Haley Joel Osment and M. Night Shyamalan and spoke to both of them for about 10 minutes. 6 months later, I was with some friends at the Sunset Marquee Hotel, and who should walk in but M. Night Shyamalan. "Hey, Matthew," he said, "long time no see. Can I sit down?" Can he sit down? He had just written and directed The Sixth Sense. He was the next Steven Spielberg. Of course he can sit down. I was a few drinks in and having a good time. This is when alcohol alone still worked for me. Eventually, my friends filtered out, and it was just M. Night and me sitting there, kicking it. I remember making a mental note that we were not talking about show business at all, just talking about love and loss and girls and L.A. and all the other stuff people chat about at bars. He seemed like he was having a really good time, too, laughing at all my dumb jokes, and I began to think, hey, this guy likes me. He must be just a huge Friends fan or something, because he really seems super focused on everything I'm saying. I usually never do this. I've been burned by this line of thinking way too many times. But I began to have wild fantasies about what this could do for my career. He told me that there was another bar that had just opened across town and asked me if I wanted to go with him. Did I want to go with him? He was M. Night fucking Shyamalan. Of course I wanted to go with him. We went to the valet, picked up our cars, and I followed him across town to this new place, all the while certain that I was going to be the star of his next huge movie. Yeah, there was going to be a new, awesome, twisty movie, and the trick ending was going to be me. My head was doing cartwheels. I can't explain why. He just seemed like he loved me and my work. And I was just drunk enough to think that this was going to be a life-changing night. As we took our seats at the new place, I felt comfortable, read drunk, enough to say that we should work together sometime. All at once, a strange look came across his face, and I remember immediately regretting having said it. He excused himself to go to the bathroom, and while he was gone, someone I knew a bit came up to me and asked me how my night was going. I said, well, I've been hanging out with M. Night Shyamalan all night. I'm telling you, the guy loves me. My buddy was impressed. That is, until M. Night returned from the bathroom. Maddie, my pal said, looking closely at M. Night, could I have a word in private? This was weird as fuck, but drink will make almost anything plausible, so I stepped away from my magical evening with M. Night for a moment. Maddie, my friend, that is not M. Night Shyamalan. This revelation caused me to attempt to fully focus my vodka-softened eyes for a moment, and through the gloom of the dark bar, I squinted hard at N. Night Shyamalan. Not even close. Turns out M. Night was actually just an Indian gentleman who looked the tiniest bit like M. Night Shyamalan. Maybe it was N. Night Shyamalan. And who was, in reality, the maitre d' at Mr. Chow's Beverly Hills, a hip restaurant in L.A. that I frequented, and that I no longer frequent because I told its maitre d' that we should work together sometime. What kind of a night did he think he was having? I thought.